From the 16th to the 19th centuries, the Kingdom of Kabu dominated a swath of West Africa that included modern-day Guinea-Bissau. The stories of its royalty and reign have been told for generations through a kind of traditional song, one that helped inspire an archaeological dig that revealed physical evidence of the kingdom's capital. Here's reporter Ari Daniel.
Kabu emerged in the 13th century as a coastal province within the Kingdom of Mali in West Africa. But when Mali fell a few hundred years later, Kabu became independent. It grew wealthy from trade, including the slave trade, and dominated the region.
It played a key role in many events of historical importance for the world, including early African statehood, and it survives all the way till the late 19th century.
When Kabu was attacked by its southern neighbors, says Sirio Canos Denai. She's an archaeologist at the University of Valencia. The story goes that once the king saw the enemy army nearing the capital of Kansala, he set fire to the gunpowder house and blew up the city. That was the end of Kabu.
That's what European powers use, that void, to encroach upon the territory and start controlling things. It's perceived as the end of independent African kingdoms before colonialism.
Much of what we know about Kabu has been passed down by a group of oral historians and musicians known as the griots. Nino Galisa lives in Guinea-Bissau and is a descendant of the first griots of Kabu.
We are, above all, the guardians of history. Our role is to interpret and preserve the history of our people of Kabu.
This is the kora, the instrument that griots use to sing about that history.
This instrument is a part of our life. It's spiritual, it's entertaining, it's imaginative, it's a companion.
Galisa has sung stories about Kabu and its capital, Kansala, for decades. But to him, it's the stuff of legend.
To me, it was a kind of fiction, like a story.
This perception that maybe it's an imaginary place, it's sort of a Camelot.
Sirio Canos Denai has led multiple archaeological digs of Kabu in present-day Senegal, but never in Guinea-Bissau, where the capital of Kansala was once located. And to really understand the kingdom and its downfall, she knew she had to excavate it.
We don't proceed with excavations without the explicit consent of the local communities, and they were very receptive.
So in early 2024, she and her colleagues began the work of unearthing Kansala, which allowed them to sketch out a map of the site, nearly 150 acres.
Which is absolutely enormous.
They found fortresses, evidence of extensive trade, and the gunpowder house that was likely detonated centuries ago. Physical validation of the people and places coursing through the songs of the griots passed down over generations. Nino Galisa was deeply moved.
When you arrive at a place that people have spoken about your whole life and the characters we've sung about, and suddenly you find people that tell you, yes, this is where these folks actually sat, it's like you're really seeing it.
Once the excavation concluded, the archaeologists gave Galisa a copy of the report. They asked if he might transform their findings into song as a way of sharing the work with the community. Galisa accepted. In his song, Galisa describes some of the findings of the dig. He also wrote lyrics about the aspect of all this that touched him so, that what the griots sing about is real.
I stressed that archaeologists returned to us a sense of pride, that people can now truly understand the role of griots as historians.
Galisa says the archaeology revealed to him that he and his fellow singers are like libraries, a living record of their community's royal legacy. For NPR News, I'm Ari Daniel.